This is Rebecca Jernigan, your tour guide into discoveries, coming to you from the heart of America to around the globe via the World Wide Web, terrestrial radio, satellite, and podcast. Let's journey together into the realms of the unknown to the known in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Welcome to each and every one of you to the show. Tonight's really special guest is Bernie Siegel, and we're going to be talking about his new book, Love, Magic, and Mud Pies. More about that in just a few moments. A special thanks goes out to Journeys with Rebecca Radio Network and all of my great affiliates. Please check them out and more at my website, and that is journeyswithrebecca.com. And of course, once you're there at the website, you can check out all the latest news under Journeys News. And of course, don't forget to check out the archives. Also, how to book your appointment for a reading and any special noteworthy events coming up. And please do check out Fate Magazine, the official sponsors of Journeys with Rebecca. Okay, Dr. Bernie Siegel, raising your kids to feel loved, be kind, and make a difference. That's the newest book, Love, Magic, and Mud Pies. So Bernie says, take a mud bath, meaning don't forget to have fun with your children by hugging, loving, and laughing with them, along with investing time in their interest. Your children can grow up to be responsible adults that you hope them to be. Now remember, what we need is all of us have the potential to be great parents who produce superstars. So tonight's very special guest is Dr. Bernie Siegel. A great show, so stay with us. We'll be right back.
Questions about your love life or your job? Get your private psychic reading from Rebecca. Call to schedule an appointment at 1-888-958-2768. That number again is 1-888-958-2768.
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
Hey, welcome back. Thanks for staying with us today. As promised, a very special guest, Bernie Siegel, MD. Today we're going to be talking about love, magic, and mud pies, raising your kids to feel loved, to be kind, and to make a difference. Bernie, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Oh, this is going to be so exciting. You know, we had a really nice off-air conversation, as I always do with my guests. And I'm just so excited about some of the information that we're going to be able to give to the people today and the inspiration, as you said. It's one thing to give information, but it's quite another to inspire somebody to follow through with it. And so I'm really excited because, you know, as a mom and as a grandma, I'm always on my show talking about my children and my grandchildren and anything that we can do to make our children and our grandchildren better than what we had it. And the world a better place is, I'm all for that.
You know, that's one of the things I often talk about. Why are your kids' kids, you know, grand and you become grand? And I think it has to do so with our experience and our ability to love without condition and to really have learned what's important about life.
Oh, yeah.
So suddenly you become grand and the next generation, you'll even be great as well as grand.
Wow, I like that analogy. That's pretty cool. I never thought of it that way. How awesome. Well, today we want to talk a lot about different things. Your book, by the way, first of all, is I think this is even for older children, not for young children, but for older children that know how to read. Mm. They could actually sit down with this book because of the way that it's written out, and they could actually read a lot of this stuff in there for themselves.
Right.
And I think this is fabulous. When I say older children, I'm still talking about, you know, before they graduate from high school. I'm talking about middle school, you know, maybe even upper elementary, middle school, where they have a vocabulary and they can read and, you know, write and understand and all that and comprehend up through high school.
I mean, there are some people who are really trying to put this into high school, you know, so that one of the subjects will be how to be a parent. as well as how to understand your own parents.
Well, you know, and I think that's a really good idea, and I've said for years that I think we do a huge disservice to our children in high school, especially our seniors. Mm-hmm. We just go, okay, now you're graduated. We throw them out into the world. We say, now figure it out.
You know, it's, I'm often talking to the kids, and I say, what do we call your graduation, a termination? No, it's a commencement, right? And that's what people tend to forget. Even though you're finished with high school, life is a series of beginnings, and we have to prepare people to begin. And the kids are not really educated. They're informed, but they're not educated about life.
No, they're not. I mean, they have, you know, they can read, they can write, they can do math. Yeah. I mean, they can, they have some of the tools necessary, but they don't have the emotional, the mental, yeah, sometimes even the spiritual information that they need to go forward out of high school and become better people,
yes,
better adults.
The world, right?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I want to talk about, because as we've seen so much violence in our schools,
yes,
and it absolutely just brings a tear to my eye. It breaks my heart. Let's talk about some of the things that maybe if we caught them younger, and we could see what we could do, that maybe we wouldn't create such children like that bully or.
Well, let me. Yeah.
Go ahead.
There are two things. One is some of the things that psychiatrist Carl Menninger wrote years ago, and in it he said that aggression is a normal feeling, but the healthy kid, in other words, a kid who's brought up loved, uses the aggression in play, meaning, you know, you can smack a baseball,
yeah,
knock somebody down on a football field,
right,
and nobody says you're being, you know, mean and rough. You can build, I mean, we were always building things out of wood in the backyard, so everybody's banging, digging, you know, the energy is going into hobbies, into your occupation, into sports, and you're not hurting anybody. You're actually accomplishing something with it.
Right.
So, well, another way of expressing it was everybody should be a rebel. This came from a spiritual leader. You'd say, why should everybody be a rebel? But what you rebel against, you know, like a Mahatma Gandhi or a Mother Teresa, you're rebelling against the things that are hurting the world, not starting wars and killing people, but rebelling against the problems. And just, again, to quote Mother Teresa, she said, I will not attend an anti-war rally, but if you ever have a peace rally, call me. See, that, so you don't fight a war to stop wars. You empower peace. That's very different.
Oh, it is.
And let me read this quote that I found from John Steinbeck. This is on the outside of a DVD entitled The Origins of Love and Violence, Bonding and Brain Development. The greatest terror a child can have is that he is not loved, and rejection is the hell he fears. I think everyone in the world, to a large or small extent, has felt rejection. And with rejection comes anger, and with anger some kind of crime and revenge for the rejection, and with the crime guilt. And there is the story of mankind. That's from John Steinbeck, written over 50 years ago in the book East of Eden. And so, yes, when we talk about Virginia Tech or even kids committing suicide, it has to do with rejection. I know a boy, high school student, whose parents told him his grades were going down, so he has to stay home and study. This is a kid who's an Eagle Scout, volunteering, doing things for the community. And he went and committed suicide at school with a gun because his parents said you have to be home and study instead of doing what. So, you know, in a sense, what we do is take the lives away from our children, and then they don't know how to regain them, so they end up killing themselves and ending their life. And when you feel rejected and not loved, then, yes, you rebel, and you can rebel in unhealthy ways and kill everybody as well as yourself. But what I've really learned is, and I've learned this from my patients too, that when somebody comes in who is destructive, see, the opposite of love is indifference. So when one of your kids is driving you crazy, they get a lot of attention. And sometimes it can be illegal acts and all kinds of things. But at least they're getting attention, and that's better than indifference. And so if someone, and I really mean this, along the way in the life of that boy had said, I love you, don't like what you're doing, but I love you, and it persisted in loving that child, then he ultimately would have come to realize he's worth something. I see this when I go speak in high schools. I've learned you don't have to be a brilliant speaker. You look the kids in the eye and you say, I love you, and if you ever need a father, call me. I'll be your father. And the kids I mean, it's like, wow, he cares about us. And so they start caring about themselves. And the really troubled ones, yeah, they'll call me or email me. And, I mean, there are suicidal kids alive today because I said, I love you, you're a child of God. And I stayed with them. And one of them one day said to me, you're my CD. I said, what are you talking about? He said, you're my chosen dad.
Uh-huh.
And so that has always stayed with me. And I've let kids know, I can be your CD. You know, you can have a CM for a chosen mother. But, you know, when you sit in a classroom, I'm talking about fourth grade, nine-year-olds, and a child comes over to you because you're reading them stories and pokes you in the leg and says, will you be my father?
Uh-huh.
Wow. I mean, I don't think I can get a greater compliment in my life. But the other is to think of the pain that these kids are living with. See, when you ask your kids to draw pictures, and I'm always telling parents to do this, say, draw the home and family. Because when I go into the schools, I'll ask the kids to do that, and then I take them home with me. And I'd say 80 or 90% of them do not show a family, if you know what I mean. You may see the house, but mom's on the shopping or in the kitchen, dad's at work, you know, my brother's in the yard, I'm in my room.
In other words, separate.
Yeah, maybe 10 or 20%, you know, everybody's having a picnic in the backyard or doing something together. And they don't really feel like a family. They'll even put themselves in little boxes or containers or circles or draw lines down the page. And you know that they're all feeling separated from each other.
Wow. And as you're telling that story, I'm looking at the pictures that my oldest grandson draws of family. And so I have to feel very encouraged because he draws everyone all in a row holding hands. He's
yes,
five.
I was just going to say that. If you're going to interpret the picture, are they touching and do they have noses? I always say, you know, to inspire and breathe in life as God breathed life into Adam's nostrils. So when you see a family with ears and noses and eyes, you know they're listening, they're breathing life, they're seeing, they're touching. Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Well, the little one, he's not quite, he doesn't, you know, he's not quite three, so he's not into the drawing thing yet.
Yeah,
he tries.
Also, even evaluate the colors. You know, if one of the kids only picked up a black crayon, I mean, presuming
yeah.
they're all available, you know, that
right.
his older brother didn't take all the others, then he's also saying he's got some troubles here, you know, and it's an easy way for parents to know what the child is feeling
you're
without
right.
intruding, in a sense, into their life.
Well, now that's interesting because, you know, like, again, I'm sitting here rolling things over and, you know, they pick all the bright colors and,
yeah,
you know,
they've got a life energy.
Yeah, the purples and the oranges and the greens, that seems to be their favorite. So how fun is that? That's
yeah.
great. See, that's good information there. It's simple things that we can take
right.
a look at as
yeah,
parents.
Know and, your kids. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what about children that you find? Because mine used to do it once in a while. I told you that I have older children. I mean, they're grown, have their own families, obviously. But I had all boys, and I had one particular boy that used to kind of bully people around. And he's turned out since very well, by the way. But, you know, it's a concern of a parent when they see their child,
right.
you know, trying to overtake other children because they can. You know, and do that whole bully thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say again, there's the unhealthy way of being aggressive, you know, bullying. And I think that it, to me, it would mean that he's got low self-esteem, that he can't handle the criticism in a healthy way, meaning that if we're coaching someone, we can criticize them because they know we're trying to make them better, be it, you know, a piano teacher or a football coach or your parent. Telling you how to do something better. So they don't see criticism as saying there's something wrong with you. They see it as there's a better way of doing that. But I think when a child feels like, you know, there's something wrong with me, then the aggression, the bullying starts coming out, and it's because they can't handle a lot of feelings, so they do a lot of things in an unhealthy way to avoid having to deal with their own issues and their own feelings.
Well, and that was kind of what I got when, you know, as he was growing up, and, you know, I would try, and he was...
Let me interrupt a minute. Where does he fit into the series of children?
He's the middle one.
Yeah, see, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I have it was interesting. I was going through, because I never throw anything out. We have four boys and a girl.
Oh.
And we have four boys because I wanted a girl. But anyway, now I almost forgot what I remember. So I'm going through the drawers, and I find a New York Times article from 1986 sitting in my drawer, which shows you that we never throw anything out. But it said on it, "Jeffrey, I apologize." And what it was is that the first three boys, he was the middle. And the article said that when children are, a year apart or 5 years apart, there's very little rivalry or problem. But in the 2-3 year, you got a real problem. And he's, in between two brothers, just like that, 2 and 3 years. So I obviously gave him this article and said, hey, we're sorry. But he caused a lot of trouble in order to get attention.
Right.
You see. And it's interesting. The last two were twins, and they were a problem for everybody. They weren't seen as rivals. They were just seen as a problem. They had to be fed, cared for, watched. And it was interesting to see that. But the first three boys, yeah, there was a lot of rivalry. And I think, again, his way of bullying, he saved the underarm deodorant plastic things and used to keep them in his room and use them as ammunition. So his brothers drove him crazy, But, again, they weren't, inflicting real harm on each other.
No,
but
right.
They had a way of acting out the conflict.
Right.
And getting the anger out. But the youngest came to me and said, how come I don't get 20% of your time? And I said, what are you talking about? He said, you have five children, which you each get 20%. I said, your brother's driving us nuts, so he gets 40. But you see, that's the interesting part, how I learned that, the troublemaker ends up getting time and attention. And even what bedroom you put them in, this is why what I call the angel, you have to let them know you love them or they end up in real trouble and depressed. Because the angel gets a bedroom at the end of the hall. You don't worry if the door's shut. You know he's a good kid. And what I call the little devil, it has to be right next to mom and dad's room or has a bedroom off the kitchen or something, where everybody can watch him all the time. But the other child says, gee, they love him more. Look where he sleeps. Look where his room is. And I'm way at the end of the hall. So I think it's really important that you let the kids know where they are. The distance from the parents' bedroom isn't about how much I love you or don't love you. It's, again, watching over you and, so don't feel unloved by being at the end of the hall.
Well, and I think this is a really good point, Bernie, that you're making, because a lot of parents wouldn't look at it from that perspective about, well, what's the order? Where do they sleep? And really those kinds of things are what children think about.
There are a lot of little things
that
are going on in their mind, and that's why it's important to say, I love you.
Yep.
And you're not at the end of the hall because I don't love you. You're at the end of the hall because I can trust you.
Right.
And know that nothing terrible is happening in your room and that kind of thing, right?
I love it. That's absolutely perfect. Well, we only got a minute or two left in this particular segment. So what I'd like to do is maybe let people know what are some of the things else that we're going to be talking about. One of the biggest controversies is whether to spank your child or not spank your child. I think maybe we could probably talk about that. And I would like to kind of gear the next segment towards, we have all kinds of issues, and they seem to generate from that awful, awful thing called television set, mm-hmm. With esteem issues, what's real, what isn't real in our world, how television glamorizes many different things that are really false to what really life is about, and it has created a whole set of social issues, I think, for the young people coming up into the world that are becoming adults. And, we've just bombarded them with all kinds of things that are not what life is really about. And what are some of the very simple things maybe that we can do as parents and grandparents that helps to bring the focus back into the children and what life is really about? I think that would be a really good thing.
Okay.
Great. You guys, you are not going to want to miss any of this interview with Bernie Siegel, Love, Magic, and Mud Pie. Stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Fate Magazine, providing true reports of the strange and unknown.
Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate magazine, call now, 800-728-2730, or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Be sure to check out Mark Kerr's debut CD, One Drink Away from the Blues, at www.cdbaby.com. This flawless debut performance earned Mark an induction into the Blues Hall of Fame as Ambassador to the Blues for the state of Louisiana. Also, it earned him a nomination for Musician of the Year in 2006 by the Academy of Texas Music. Mark Kerr, One Drink Away from the Blues at www.cdbaby.com.
Hello, I'm Jane Goodall, only half of the world's forests and wetlands that existed at the start of the 20th century still exists today. We must do a far better job of protecting wildlife habitats, or environmental chaos awaits those who follow us. If you own land you want kept safe forever, the Wildlife Land Trust can help. Call 1-800-729-SAVE, 1-800-729-SAVE.
Email Rebecca with your comments to mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Again, mud pies. You know, Bernie, in the first segment we did, we just covered so much, but I'd really like to talk about some of the things that we discussed at the end of them, which is, you know, spanking or not spanking, mm-hmm. You know, what our television does to the whole procedure with children, that kind of thing.
My first thought is in California they were debating whether to pass a law that you can't spank your child till age four. And I said, well, then what's going to happen is the fourth year is going to be a let's get even and spank, you know, birthday. Because the parents will say,
weird.
Okay, you got away for 4 years. We've written everything down you did wrong, so now we're going to spend the day spanking you. I mean, it's so absurd. You want to pass a law that says you must love your child.
Oh, there you go.
Because, you know, I mean, when people say to me, well, how should I bring up my kid? I said, I'll tell you what you do. Get a puppy, go to your veterinarian and say, how should I raise the puppy? And then go home and do the same thing with your child. Because these are words from veterinarians, okay? I'm not making this up. Affection, discipline, exercise, love, trust, respect, consistency. And I hadn't thought about this story for a long time, but a woman goes to a healer. See, if you're a parent, let me change it a little bit. I go to a healer and I say, the kids are driving me crazy. I don't know what to do with them. And the healer says, if you get me a white hair from the chest of a bear that lives on the mountain, I can make a potion that will change your children and make them wonderful and lovable. So I go and I spend 6 months befriending this bear with food, sitting near it so it's not afraid of me, and finally I'm able to walk up to it, pluck a hair, and then run because the bear goes, arr! And I run to the healer, I give her the hair, and she throws it in the fire. And I say, what the hell are you doing? I risked my life to get that fur. I spent 6 months up there with the bear. And the healer turns to me and says, all right, now go home and be as patient with your children as you were with the bear.
Ah.
Oh.
Yeah. Ah, miracle.
Yeah. See, and how? Because what are you taught with your pets? If they poop or pee in the living room, don't scream at them the next day. They don't know what you're screaming about.
No, they don't actually about an hour later.
The same with your kids. Talk to them about what's happening, not screaming, what's wrong with you, but let's talk about what you did or why that's not safe. So you're not belittling the child, you're discussing the activity, and then they can listen to it. And as I said, you can become their coach and help them, and they're not afraid to listen to you because you know you're not attack. They know you're not attacking them. You're talking about what they did, and those are two very different things. See, let me give you a quote again. This is from a woman whose mother belittled her constantly, who only dressed her in dark clothes. She had to get cancer to buy a red dress finally and reclaim her life. And she said, quote, "My mother's words were always eating away at me and maybe even gave me cancer."
Wow.
"You embarrass us. We're not proud of you. You'll never accomplish anything." Those are quotes from her mother, say, "And then we put you in dark clothes and nobody will notice you." And that's the sad and tragic part. So, again, if you said, and your listeners ought to answer this simple question, did your parents love you? I didn't ask you what they were like. I said, did they love you? You know, you could say my father's in prison, he was a murderer, but did he love you? The kids who say, yes, my parents loved me, when you look them up in midlife, 1 out of 4 has suffered a major illness. When you look the kids up who say my parents didn't love me, 98% have suffered a major illness. And again, why do we become self-destructive? Because we don't feel loved. And so all the addictions and all kinds of crazy things that we do are to seek feelings that we never had. And even the violence, you see, if you're not brought up with love and touch and affection, you know, I keep thinking of these kids who are driving in their cars with the radio so loud you can hear it 2 miles away.
Right.
They don't hear it the way we hear it. So to them, what's violent has to be extreme, whereas to us, some little thing may seem like violence and aggression because their nervous systems aren't the same. So you have to realize how you're treating your child as a parent is creating this child and is changing the organism. And the submissive child who makes mommy and daddy happy and keeps all the anger inside is far more likely to end up with cancer than her twin sister who's a little devil running around the house, you know, bellowing and letting everybody know how she feels and living her life rather than mom and dad saying, we want you to be, you know, a nurse or we want you to get married or we want you to do this. No, she's out there living her life. And the sister who's listening to mommy and daddy and doing everything they want is far more likely to end up with a serious illness because of all the internalized emotion.
Right, because they're not able to express themselves. Yeah. And it's all about acceptance. Every child wants their parent to accept them and love them.
You know what I've learned, and I mean this literally, because you see it everywhere. It's the born-again concept. And when I say see it everywhere, I mean every religion has the concept of rebirthing, being born again. Christianity, Christ talks about you have to be born again, and that's what everybody needs to do. If you weren't reparented properly, rebirth yourself, be born again. I was talking to a rabbi who said, yes, when we have somebody with a problem, we say, all right, pick a new name for yourself. And so everywhere you go, you hear this same theme, say, change yourself, change your life. You can, in a sense, reparent yourself, rebirth yourself if you didn't get it done right the first time.
Oh, and it's never too late. People say, oh,
no.
It's too late. It's never too late.
Absolutely.
Never.
I mean, I began to see it when people would get a life-threatening illness, and then it gave them permission. I had to laugh recently. Two cases were sent to me of men who are very mad at the doctors and want to sue them. Because the doctor told them, you know, they have cancer and they're going to be dead in 2 months. One guy went home, spent all his money, had a wonderful time, and suddenly he's perfectly well and not dying. And he thinks the doctor made a mistake. No, the doctor didn't make a mistake. He went home and did, you know, and rebirthed himself and started enjoying life, and look what happened.
Yeah, he gave himself permission to live, to be a participant and not a spectator.
These two guys want to sue their doctors and want all their medical reports because they're sure they made a mistake. what the men made a mistake was not living their life.
That's right, is by being constricted and constrained
right. Based
on that.
Well, the punishment, let me also quote one of our children, because I rarely ever spanked anybody because my father's father died when he was a child. So I grew up punishment for me was my mother saying to me, I'm going to tell your father you did that when he gets home.
Right.
And I would beg her not to tell him because he was the sweetest, gentlest man in the world. And here's another way, of punishing. I was jealous of our neighbor's son because he had a toy I wanted and I didn't have it. So he let me play with it and I broke it.
Uh-oh.
And I know it wasn't an accident. My father comes home and hears what happened. What would you do as a parent? Well, what he did was go out and purchase the toy, bring it home, and handed it to me. He didn't say give it to the neighbor. He said, I know you wanted this. Here. And he walked away. The pressure on me was incredible. I'm a little pipsqueak, you know?
Yeah.
And I know that I could keep this, and he wouldn't have said a word. But I know the right thing was to give it back to the neighbor. So I went over and gave it to him after about 15 minutes.
yeah, as you was holding
see,
it.
That was punishment that was far worse than a whack on the behind. He could have hit me in the behind and said, oh, you did a terrible thing, and fine, okay, I'm off the hook now. And I grabbed one of our kids one day because he was just driving me nuts. That was the one I mentioned, the middle, you know, the three boys. And I raised my hand, and he said, you can't hit me. And I said, why not? He said, because I'm a person, and if you hit me, I'll call the police.
Oh, my.
So I burst out laughing, and from then on, it was impossible to hit anybody because I suddenly think. But I always thought, and he's that kind of kid, how wonderful that he could look at me and say, I'm a person. And, yeah, if we see our kids as persons, as human beings, as gifts, because I was reading something again by a clergyman saying, you know, we're given a gift from God, and it's our job to raise it and to love it, not to punish it and, you know...
Stick it in a corner or...
Yeah. Or lock it in a bedroom. I mean, I know one child who, he had AIDS years ago and was going to commit suicide, and I said, how come you're not killing your parents? Because they had sexually abused him.
Oh.
I said, how come you're committing suicide when everybody else is killing their parents? And he said, I never want to be like them. To me, that was one of the most loving statements anybody could make. You know, that rather than hurt someone else, he would rather end his life. And fortunately, he didn't. I mean, he ended up with people rescuing him and, you know, sharing love with him and reparenting him.
Good. Oh, that just, that's just sad. And we have to stop this vicious cycle that we're in, Bernie. I mean, honestly, it's a vicious cycle. And some of us are just only had what, you know, obviously information is much more readily available than it used to be.
Right.
And sometimes we can get information overload, but it's more about, obviously, besides just the information, is the inspiration. But it is never too late.
You know, it's living the message.
It is.
One of our sons gave me a bumper sticker that says, I don't remember the exact words, but it's basically, you have to become, you know, the change you want to see in the world.
Yes.
So if you work at being loving, people forgive you. That's why I say criticism to me is a good sign, that if I'm criticized by people I work with, for, and family, then I know they know I care because they're telling me how to be better at what I'm doing. And they know I don't make excuses all the time.
Say,
oh, it's not me, it's you. Or,
right.
You know, so I always say, even if you're talking to your plumber, if your plumber says, well, your house is a mess and the pipes are bad, then get another plumber. But if the plumber said, gee, I'm sorry, it didn't work, let me come over, see what, you know, needs to be done, then I'd say, fine, he's going to learn from his mistakes and is a caring plumber.
Right, there you go. And that's a very simple analogy there. I kind of like that. Well, let's move on a little bit. You know, I want to talk about media. You know, obviously I'm in the media. I mean, I'm in here, we're doing radio. But one of the things that I've noticed, and you and I talked about the fact that neither one of us really watch a lot of television,
right.
But I do go through it once in a while and look at it, and I'm absolutely abhorred by what it is that I see. We have teenagers that are having... I can't remember the actual term. They're like sex parties, and these are teenagers that are still in school. They're ninth graders, eighth graders, and they all get together and they have these sex parties at people's homes because the parents are working. We have young girls that suffer from anorexia. We have young boys who, you know, are working out obsessively and, you know, taking things to, you know, steroid type of stuff. And you know, we have young girls that are going to plastic surgeons, you know, to have implants or to their nose fixed or to have liposuction, for heaven's sakes. And I mean, we have all these things going on, and then we glamorize, you know, war and killing and you know, the tough guy attitude. And
yeah, I mean, what bothers me and with television is just what you're saying, that the things that they focus on are all the bizarre, you know, when you look at some of the celebrities and what a mess they are with drugs and alcohol. And
oh, and it's getting more and more, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and again, it's what their parents were like. Some of the parents force them into it so they can enjoy, you know, being the celebrity's mother. And it's just, you know, they're not normal kids. And it's just tragic to see what our society begins to publicize. And it's also the self-image and self-esteem that, you know, the anorexic and the kids with plastic surgery. I mean, see, again, as a surgeon, I did a lot of children's surgery. Kids would come and say, fix me. The kids are teasing me in gym in the locker room. And I'd say, draw yourself in the operating room. I want a picture of you in the operating room. And literally, the kids pick up the black crayon, and they look like an insect on the operating table. I mean, you give them a big piece of paper, and they take up one little black line. And I would say to their parents, you see, I mean, what they need is your love and self-esteem and self-worth. We can operate on them 112 times, and they're still going to look in the mirror and see this ugly thing. And a grandmother said to her granddaughter, it's a true story, she was living at her house for a week, and she said, Grandma, you have no full-length mirrors in the house. I can't see what I look like when I go to school. And the grandmother said, come over here, look in my eyes, and you'll see how beautiful you are. See?
Uh-huh.
That's, a matter of fact, I think I put this in the book, I was born an ugly duckling. This had a lot to do with my mother, who was quite ill and shouldn't have been pregnant, and complications of pregnancy, and couldn't survive a cesarean section. So after many days of labor, by the time they pulled me out, this is a quote from my mother, they didn't hand me a child, they handed me a purple melon. She said, we wrapped you in kerchiefs, put you in a carriage, covered it, and hid you behind the house. And I literally said to my mother, because I didn't learn this till I was an adult.
Right.
Because if you look at our family photograph album, you see a smiling lady over a covered carriage, so I assume I was sleeping. And then you see pictures a few years later when I'm looking okay. But I said, then why am I not a drug addict or an alcoholic if nobody touched me? And she said, oh, see, back to Grandma. She said, her mother took me and really took me from them. And she said, she'd pour oil on your body and 5 and 6 times a day push things back where they belong. And I realized at that moment I went to being the most loved child on the planet, because I'm getting massaged by someone who loves me 6 times a day.
Wow.
And what we know literally from studies at the hospital nursery, if you massage a baby and don't massage the baby in the next crib, feed them exactly the same amount every day, the one who's touched and massaged gains weight 50% faster. And in the orphanages in the 1800s, 95% of the kids died of infections because they didn't understand that they were getting infected because nobody was touching them and they had no immune function. But they would say, don't touch the children, you'll spread the infection. Don't touch the children. So nobody's touching these kids, and they're all dying.
And so that just goes to show people that, you know, you got to follow your instincts. Because the first instinct,
yes,
usually for most mothers, is to pick up their baby and hold
that.
Yeah,
because, you see, the hormones, oxytocin, serotonin, they're the bonding hormones.
Yes.
And they go up when you have a baby. They also, by the way, go up when you pet a dog.
Yes.
So, you know, that's why having pets in the house, too, helps your kids to relate to each other and to other people and have a reverence for life. You know, that when you care for something and about something, it goes beyond just that object, if you know what I mean.
Exactly.
You could be a gardener and show the kids how much you care about growing things, and they'll end up healthier kids than, you know, the person next door who doesn't give a damn about anything.
Right, exactly, except for maybe to sit down and play video games,
yeah,
or, you know, be locked in the house and that kind of thing, which is, you know, again, that whole TV concept of, you know, the games and all of that stuff where we just kind of lock ourselves away in our little homes and we don't experience what life is really about.
You know, it's meaning, and I'd say part of what you're saying is the TV has no meaning. There are rare programs that give you a sense of meaning about life, and that's what kids need, that if they have meaning in their lives, it changes them. You know, and Monday, it doesn't become the day we have more heart attacks, suicides, and strokes, because it's the day you're contributing something to the world.
There you go. You guys hang on. We're going to be right back with more Bernie Siegel in just a moment.
Get your personal and private reading from Rebecca. To schedule an appointment, call 1-888-95-TAROT. That's 1-888-958-2768. Find out where your life's journeys will take you.
The recording industry is at it again. They're attempting to shut down all internet radio stations. That is, unless they agree to pay them more money than the business could ever possibly make. Protect your right to the most diverse internet content landscape. Write or email your congressman and senator and ask them to work to repeal the decision of March 2nd by the Copyright Royalty Board. SaveNetRadio.org. Do it now. SaveNetRadio.org.
For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest on all the aspects of paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now, 1-800-728-2730. Again, that's 1-800-728-2730. Or visit their website, www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Tolerance is accepting someone before they walk through the door.
No matter what their background, their religion, their lifestyle.
It's about accepting people for who they are as individuals.
Their culture, their family, their traditions.
Tolerance is celebrating the diversity that makes us great.
Tolerance. Honor the differences.
Picture a world of respect. Visit tolerance.org to learn more.
Talk with an intuitive touch. Journeys with Rebecca.
Thus, we are here, as we've said today, with Bernie Siegel, Love, Magic, and Mud Pies. Bernie, this has been absolutely an enlightening conversation. And, of course, before we have you leave here today, we're going to let everyone know where they can go and check out your website and get the book for themselves. I highly recommend this book. First of all, it's very easy to read. It's very succinct. Each chapter in it is specific to what the chapter title is about. You don't go into long, drawn-out explanations. You just get to the heart of the matter. It's done in a very... your books are very fun and enlightening.
I have to say that I'm always telling people I have nothing new to say, you know, that hasn't been shared in the last few thousand years from some of the great prophets of the past. But what I do is make it practical, just what you're saying. So it's how to make the magic, you know, at the end of each little chapter is how to make the magic. And it's not magic. It's very practical and not mystical. And so you can do something with your family and create some magic in the family.
And, you know, I think that's something that people forget about because, you know, both usually right now in our society is both parents do both work.
Yeah.
So it's how do we find that family time? What do we do?
You know, what I learned, I mean, our kids were always mad at me for being a doctor. I don't mean always, but, you know, they come home, they say, "You on call?" And the neighbor's kids would say, "What does that mean?" And they'd say, "Well, my father's a doctor, and he may get a phone call tonight, and then he has to go to the hospital, so we can't go out and can't play because it would be interrupted if he has an emergency." And so they knew that when I was on call, you stayed home. And then one night I was coming home, and they were all leaving. And I said, "I'm off tonight. Where are you going?" "We're going roller skating." I said, "Wait a minute. I'm home, and you're leaving. So then I ought to have a right to be a doctor and do what I want to do if you're doing what you want to do." And then it was like, "Oh, you're right. We each have a right to do what we want to do." And so what did we do? We made Thursday nights roller skating night. And the whole family, you know, we'd go off to the roller skating rink and spend the night together. And I think that's how you make the magic. You know, you have certain nights days where you spend it with your kids. And because of the five of them and all the birthdays, we would say, you know, the week of your birthday, you get a special day with your mom and dad. So we could go to a museum, we could go wherever you want, but it was a special day for that child. And that way they each had these special, unique little experiences, you know, and didn't feel deprived or not treated as well as their sibling because they each had special days. As a matter of fact, the twins were born the day after Christmas, so we used to have a six-month birthday party for them because... You know, everybody's into the holidays, and it's hard to have a birthday party the day after Christmas. So 6 months later, we had the summertime birthday party, and that way all their friends could come from school and everywhere else, and they had a special day. So it was a way of honoring them, you know, rather than overlooking them.
Well, I like that, because that's your own little tradition that you've created, and that's fun. You know, like I was telling you about my two little grandchildren. When they come over, I have special things that I do, and one of them is we sit down and we read. Mm. And I let them pick out the books, and each of them get one, because they're different ages. So each of them get one, and I get to read that book but both of them sit and listen. When I get done, then I read the other one's book, and they both sit there while I'm reading the books.
No, I love doing that, and I've got to recommend. I wrote a book called Smudge Bunny, which
Ooh.
Is a true story about a bunny we rescued. But you see, because again, for the kids, the theme is difficulties can turn into blessings.
They can,
and you know this for the bunny, it was being dumped by our neighbors, you know, after Easter into the woods, and we rescued them. So from being dumped in the woods to living in the seagull household as house bunnies, you know, they realized that their mother was right. Curses in a sense, difficulties can turn into blessings.
Oh, they can. Well, and, I'm glad you did that.
You know, to try to teach the kids that. But the other was, I have to tell you, our kids were even better than your grandkids in the sense of their wisdom. They would come to us and say, Grandma called. I'd say, really? Yeah, she wants us to visit. And we would take them down to the Greyhound bus, or sometimes drive them over, and they would spend a weekend or even a week at my, you know, folks' house and that kind of thing. And when they grew up, they said, we have to tell you something. I said, what? They said, Grandma never called, but when we wanted to get away or we wanted special attention, we would say, Grandma called. And I just thought, again, I had to admire them for, you know, working out ways of taking care of themselves. You see, not violent.
Right.
Not acting out, but
right.
Let me go get some love from Grandma and have a quiet weekend away from, you know, the competition of my siblings and get love focused on me.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah.
That's, you know, and these are all, this is so awesome. What I want to do now before we run out of time is for you to give your web address so that people can go and look at all the wonderful books that you've written, because this is obviously not the only one.
Yes.
And how they can get a hold of you.
It's www.Bernie, B-E-R-N-I-E, Siegel, SIEGELMD.com. And there they can learn about tapes and books and all kinds of things, from my work with, you know, support and cancer patients to children. And also, they could email me if they wanted to, because there's a, you know, contact, and it would come directly to me, and I can get in touch with them. And also, if they're interested in exceptional cancer patients' work, there's a symbol on my website, and if they click on that, they'll jump over to the other one, too. So there's lots of things they can get there and ways of communicating with me.
Well, and what I want to also tell people, because, you know, obviously this is not only a show about information, but inspiration.
Right.
So for any of those people out there that are listening that really would like some direction on how to maybe incorporate some of the things that we've talked about here today, or would like to know how to start, or maybe there's some children out there listening even that would like to take advantage of them, please make sure that they go to your website, because it is about inspiration.
Yeah, and let me say that some of the other books, things like Prescriptions for Living, 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, so there's help for people when they're confronting illness, and there's help for people when they're confronting life.
Right.
Because that's ultimately what I realize. We're all wounded. We've all got trouble. So it's how do you deal with life's difficulties, and how do you become a survivor?
And how do you have a better quality of life from all of that?
Yes.
And, Bernie, you know, I can't tell you how heartwarming this whole interview has been with you today. This has certainly given me some more inspiration, and one of the things that I am going to be doing is to share your book, Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, with many people, because I know there are many people out there that can certainly use this wonderful book. And I thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Being a guest here on Journeys with Rebecca today. And we wish you well, and we're going to look forward to having you on again in the future.
All right, Rebecca. It feels good being with you.
Thank you, my dear. You're so sweet.
Thanks.
You guys hang on. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Rebecca Jernigan, host of Journeys with Rebecca. As a truly gifted psychic and clairvoyant, let me help answer your life's questions. Schedule your personal and private reading appointment with me. Call 1-888-958-2768 or log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com. Where will your life's journey lead you?
Be sure to check out Mark Kerr's debut CD, One Drink Away from the Blues, at www.cdbaby.com. This flawless debut performance earned Mark an induction into the Blues Hall of Fame as Ambassador to the Blues for the state of Louisiana. Also, it earned him a nomination for Musician of the Year in 2006 by the Academy of Texas Music. Mark Kerr, One Drink Away from the Blues, at www.cdbaby.com.
Close your eyes for a moment. Now imagine you're away from it all. Beside a crystal clear mountain stream, the cool grass crunches underfoot. Take a deep breath and drink in the sound of water cascading over the stones as birds call out from above. A real paradise like this isn't easy to come by, but it does still exist. And with your help, places like this one can last forever. You see, the Nature Conservancy works locally with communities, businesses, and people like you to preserve the most precious natural places around the world. They protect the animals that live there, the plants that grow there, and even the water. That way, this beautiful place will be beautiful forever. And we'll make sure that closing your eyes will never be the only way to get there. I'm Paul Newman. Help the Nature Conservancy save the last great places.
Visit the Nature Conservancy at nature.org. That's nature.org.
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
Thank you to my wonderful guest, Dr. Bernie Siegel. You can find out more about tonight's guest by visiting his website, BernieSiegelMD.com. And of course, thank you for listening. Now you can find out more information on my website, JourneysWithRebecca.com. And of course, the official sponsor of Journeys with Rebecca radio show, Fate Magazine. And again, we've listed all the upcoming guests in the weeks to come, so be sure to mark your calendars to listen. And if you've missed a show, you can always find it on the audio archives. You know, I really do love hearing from you listeners out there, so write to me. Let me know what you think of the show or my guests. That's mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. And speaking of which, I do have an email I'd like to share with you from LP, so here it is. Hi, Rebecca. Just wanted to let you know your pre-Mother's Day show was fantastic. I really enjoyed it. I'm a guard and work a truck gate as well as the main gates. Can I say it? At Coke. I have a lot of free time after downtime begins. That part of the job is easy and pretty good. Now, during the downtime, I listen to my MP3 player with the shows I've loaded into it. I always listen to your shows, those like yours, which are a few, the paranormal, and I suppose some would think it's unusual, but I also listen to a lot of old-time radio programs. Now, when I'm listening to my MP3s, I can relax and feed my mind with something I've always been fascinated with. Oh, I'm sorry, Rebecca, but it's hard for me to put my thoughts into a few words. Anyway, please keep the shows flowing. I do enjoy them. Cheers and have a good day, LP, the remote castaway. Thank you so much, LP. And for those of you, remember, we do podcast Journeys with Rebecca. We thank you so much for joining the show. So, until we meet again, where will your life's journey lead you? Many blessings and good night.